Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Today, just a day after controversy erupted over his walk to a cathedral very near the White House after a brief statement at the Rose Garden, and you could hear in the background tear gas going off, it prompted a former Secretary of Defense, Mattis, to react to the president and say that he was not being presidential, and when he looked at the military, those things should not have happened. I'll give you some more specifics on it. We have new deaths with the coronavirus, COVID-19 specifically, of course, as we call it, and more people protesting, lots of them peaceful, lots of them including the police, a lot of knees being taken. And a lot of sympathy for the Floyd family and three officers being charged. Now, four altogether. So the three others who stood there in the video that we all saw and didn't react to what was happening with Chauvin, who was the officer who had his knee on the neck of George Floyd, choking the life out of him from what we could see. And the reaction that he wasn't charged, the attorney general decided to make a move, Keith Ellison in Minnesota, and announced that they were being charged with aiding and abetting, plus the fact that Chauvin has now had the charge moved to second degree murder. And as I said, the president asked, of course, about Floyd and whatnot. He was addressing reporters on the South Lawn of the White House and, sat for interviews, etc. And he did an interview where he discussed the death of George Floyd with Spicer and Company from Newsmax and the resulting protests and violence. And he talked about a couple of other things in it, too, as well. But he says the police officer snapped, that clearly what he saw was that he snapped. And he said it's a terrible thing. It should never happen. Something snapped, I think, with him and the other three watching. I guess you can't put it in the same category, but it was a very bad category. That's how he described it. They said nothing good comes out of that. Nope, that was a very, very bad thing. And, of course, Spicer is the former White House press secretary, Sean Spicer, who's part of that show. And the president attacked the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, as what he called the super liberal who was crying rather than taking decisive action during the unrest after Floyd's death. And then he also said he lamented the passive approach that he said local leaders embraced in efforts to maintain order as peaceful protests turned violent and destroyed lives and cities. And he pointed out that the same officials who had been tough as hell, he calls it, keeping people locked up in their houses during the coronavirus pandemic, it's the same thing. He had a comment that was tweeted out all over the place and got people that rallied around it and people that retweeted and said it sums it all up. So once again, we live in a polarized nation. That's not surprised. He said the liberal mayors, they'll keep you locked up. But when it comes to looting and everything, they're weak on crime. My name's Kate Delaney. If you've never heard the show before, well, welcome to it. You can be a part of it easily. Anything you hear and you want to make a comment on or you want to share some thoughts of your own on anything, 24/7, katedelaneyradio.com. And we always have a full mailbag, so feel free to add to that conversation. This show is about that. That's why I started doing it, that I didn't care so much about the letter that you decided to slap around your name or how you were going to vote, but that you had an opinion and that you were part of the conversation. That was always the genesis for the beginning of the reasons why I decided to do this and leave a network job to go out on my own, essentially, and work for an independent group of people, work with an independent group of people. So anyway, so you know, that's the setup. Anything you want to say, you are welcome to it. You are welcome to it. Let's talk about the, right at the top, so I can fill in the blanks for you. All four Minneapolis police officers involved in George Floyd's killing have been charged. So that was very, very big, of course. Very big. There was cries for the Attorney General Keith Ellison to do something to change the charge, and now it's a more serious count, second degree murder. The three other officers were charged with aiding and abetting second degree murder. So it's tough when you go to court and you're in these scenarios with police, what happened, et cetera. We've seen this before. It's, again, despite what we all saw on tape and everything else, remember, we live in a country where innocent until proven guilty. That's a big damn deal that charge was moved up. So Chauvin was arrested last week. He's being held at the Minnesota Department of Corrections in Oak Park. His bail was increased to $1 million. $1 million. And then the other three who were taken into custody who were there, they're being held on $1 million bail, too. And the world is reacting still to George Floyd. And the two autopsies on Floyd determined that he died by homicide. And the Minneapolis police chief fired the four officers and said they were complicit in Floyd's death. And, of course, Floyd's family and protesters nationwide have called for them to be arrested. So that happened on Wednesday. It was a big deal, and the family reacted, of course, immediately. Benjamin Crump, an attorney for the Floyd family, said that the family was gratified with the new charges and said, "We can't celebrate because an arrest is not a conviction." It's exactly what I said. And we want justice. We want whole justice. And Keith Ellison, when he was asked, "Oh, did the protest influence the charges?" he said, "I don't allow public pressure to impact our decision-making process. We made these decisions based on the facts that we gathered since it happened and made the charges based on the law that we think applies." Officers are rarely charged with crimes for violence against black men. You can look up these numbers. The numbers are clearly there. And even in those rare cases, juries have repeatedly not convicted. So he's saying, you know, we had to see if we had that evidence there and if we, how confident we were and what we could do going forward. By the way, the other thing that happened is with these autopsies, it also came out that the autopsy of George Floyd, it showed that he tested positive for coronavirus. Novel coronavirus in a test taken after his death, a post-mortem nasal swab positive. But the chief medical examiner said this is not what killed him, not had nothing to do with it, most likely reflects asymptomatic. That's probably what it was, according to the medical examiner. Numbers coming up around the bend.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bowe.
If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
I mean, but I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Numbers are important, and we see them everywhere, ugly ones and positive ones. These are not so great. The death total in the United States of those that have died from COVID-19, 109,000. Hey, the bright side, 426,000 have recovered. There have been 1.89 million. These are confirmed. These are the confirmed numbers we have. They could be higher. You know, that changes sometimes. And it's interesting because if you look at the deaths, 40,600 coronavirus deaths in nursing homes, you know, tied to nursing homes. So think about those numbers. New York had so many big cases, especially in the beginning. 24,000 deaths. New Jersey right behind them, over 11,000 people, mostly northern New Jersey, but not just exclusively there. For people listening, we know the Northeast was really socked. A lot of that had to do with people traveling, and a lot of that had to do with what else was going on and where people had it and then were showing up at parties, et cetera. And, hey, you look at infected healthcare workers, and, you know, the latest there, 450,000 healthcare workers. And thank God we have healthcare workers. Imagine you're sick and nobody wants to treat you, to help you, to hold your hand, and they're doing that. And I mean, they really are the heroes. There's no question about it. The people that are putting it on the line every single day with families, and some of them losing their life, and many of them knowing that they're going to come down with COVID-19, just hoping and praying it's not going to be the worst of the worst for them. James Mattis, the former Secretary of Defense, made huge news when he decided he was going to comment on what was going on with the president, particularly the other day, the protest in D.C. and the tear gas that was shot among the peaceful protesters. His number is 50 years. He said he joined the military 50 years ago. He swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and that's why he decided he was going to react. He did an op-ed piece and then talked to somebody about it as well. And he said, never did I dream the troops taking the same oath would be ordered under any circumstance to violate the constitutional rights of their fellow citizens, much less to provide a bizarre photo op for the elected commander-in-chief with military leadership standing alongside. And he called on Americans to reject the president's calls for cities to be dominated by the National Guard. That was a sentiment shared by current Defense Secretary Mark Esper, who announced early on Wednesday that he opposed the use of military to arrest protesters and, you know, to go there to arrest protesters and the violence. So this was a big deal. And, of course, the president tweeted out that he was not, you know, he had to be fired by the Obama administration and he had to be resigned from his administration. So he struck back at Mattis and the fact that he criticized Esper, too, and other administration officials, saying that we have to reject our thinking of our cities as a battle space that our uniformed military is called up to dominate at home. We should use our military only when requested to do so on rare occasions by state governors. So battle lines essentially have been drawn. He is somebody who, you know, you never heard him talk at all about what happened or the administration. And he wrote the op-ed that was published by The Atlantic. It came out on Wednesday, and that's what really stirred things up, let's put it that way. All right, other numbers across the board, a couple of different things. You know, you look at, we look at the COVID-19 and where are we headed and reopening and stores and distancing and all that kind of stuff. And how about Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania says we're going to reopen schools on July 1st. So students and teachers are going to be allowed to return to the classroom. The state education department announced plans to resume in-person teaching. And they say only schools in counties that have reached either the green or yellow phase, that's what they call it, of the state's coronavirus reopening plan, they will be permitted to get back in the classroom. And the guidelines will be this, that each school has to come up with their own health and safety procedures. They got to meet the federal and state guidelines. So that would mean, you know, separation, I'm sure, in the classrooms. What are the expectations for that? And they're working on it. They have time to work on what the summer programs are going to be and, you know, whatnot, and what the logistics of that look like, including how kids are transported to and from the school. And then when the school year begins, what happens? I mean, those are questions everybody's answering now at this point. This is interesting. If we stick on the same subject, a new 20-minute test could avoid quarantine for travelers. We see that the airlines are getting clobbered, so many of the planes parked in the desert in Arizona, but, you know, anxious to get back to work, people being furloughed, all that. Many countries are requiring that 14-day quarantine. But there's a new test to detect the virus that's being studied in the UK that might give the results on site in 20 minutes with a simple swab. The test trials are being conducted in hospitals, and if effective, it could eliminate the isolation, all that, the whole thing for travelers, obviously. And they've given 4,000 people the test, and that's what they're looking at. The technology is called loop-mediated isothermal amplification. That's a mouthful. And the key is, and this is what we care about, it would eliminate the need for laboratory testing and would help in tracing new coronavirus cases and, you know, the lockdown and when are you reopening and is it safe? And there's just still questions and reactions, and it's split what people think. They're looking for answers. Everybody's looking for answers. I mean, that's it, you know. Looking for answers. All right, here's one thing that's good. In Wuhan, where, of course, this all started, the Chinese city where it was first detected late last year, they've tested about 10 million people, they're saying, in an unprecedented 19-day campaign. And they had just 300 positive cases, all had no symptoms. They had no infections among the over 1,100 close contacts of the people who tested positive. So they're suggesting, they're saying they were not spreading it easily to other people. So that could be potentially encouraging because of the concern that infected people without symptoms, we keep talking about that, could be silent spreaders of the disease. And nobody wants to be that person, right? And Wuhan was the hardest hit city in China. 80% of the cities, or the countries, rather, deaths came there. So they're going to continue to test and look at the clusters and see what they can get from that and what they can tell other people, you know, other countries who want answers. And that would be us wanting answers on what happens, you know, what happens now. We've talked about online betting sites before on this show, and the former VP, Joe Biden, is, you know, looking at, when you look at predictors, and there's all kinds of polls, etc., but there's a thing called Predict It, and New Zealand has a thing called Smarkets, and they're pretty heavily trafficked online betting sites. And on Predict It, Biden has a lead in the presidential race, 53% favorability compared to 47% for the president. Pretty close, though. On Smarkets, Biden 50-43 for Trump, a bigger margin there than the other margin. And a Real Clear politics poll showed Joe Biden 8 points ahead of the president. But we know what polls can do, and we've seen what's happened before with polls. In the last presidential election, for example, some of the polling, a lot of the exit polling even, which usually it's just seems like it's dead accurate, was not accurate. So I always say you can manipulate. I like the idea of polls, but you can manipulate them any way you want to, essentially. And that's why those numbers are interesting. AMC Theater. AMC is a theater that I used to go to all the time. You know, that was my big relaxation thing. We did our cheap movie reviews here on the show for eons until the virus hit, and then we stopped doing that. But the theater chain closed its theaters early this year. They expect to have lost between $2.1 billion and $2.4 billion in the first quarter. And they're saying that revenue fell so fast and how long it's been down. They're saying that they have a substantial doubt that they can remain in business after closing locations across the globe during the pandemic. They might not be coming back. They're just monitoring everything and seeing if they can, but it's not necessarily looking that good for AMC. All right. I flipped open the car door. Come on in with me, and I'll race you to the other side.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
All of the Minneapolis police officers involved in the fatal encounter with George Floyd now face charges. Former officer Derek Chauvin now faces an upgraded charge, according to Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison.
I believe the evidence available to us now supports the stronger charge of second-degree murder. Arrest warrants were issued for former Minneapolis police officers J.A. King, Thomas Lane, and two Tau.
In Minneapolis.
We got all four! We got all four!
Protesters celebrated the news, but Floyd family attorney Benjamin Crump says the battle is not yet won.
We cannot celebrate because an arrest is not a conviction, and we want justice. This family is united in their quest for justice.
This is USA Radio News. In a virtual town hall, former President Obama spoke of the Black Lives Matter movement. He said, as tragic as this has been, it's also a time of awakening.
They offer an opportunity for us to all work together to tackle it, to take them off, to change America and make it live up to its highest ideals.
The House Judiciary Committee plans to hear testimony from the Justice Department whistleblowers and former department officials. Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler announced Tuesday the witnesses are prepared to describe Attorney General William Barr's politicization of the department and specific incidents of misconduct. Nadler said the committee will also introduce a bill to cut the budget of Barr's personal office by $50 million, which, if passed, would most likely not pass in the Senate. In the year and a half he's been in office, Barr has never appeared before the House Judiciary Committee. You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
It's called Who is Jesus Christ? The Complete Story. And with us is Reverend Abraham Howard Jr. And he and I had the most interesting conversation off the air about what people know and don't know. And I've talked about this before on the show that, I grew up Catholic. And it was a lot about, and I'm not making fun of this, but it was a lot about memorizing prayers and beatitudes and all of that. And we never were asked that question. We were never asked the question, who is Jesus Christ? So this is fascinating to me. Reverend Abraham Howard, thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate you.
So you heard what I said, and we talked about that. When you when you sat down, and you have experience, obviously, in the Word and preaching, but that's one thing. What made you decide to tackle this? What made you decide, I'm gonna write this book?
Well, after 30 years of teaching in Sunday school, one day the question was asked me, was it true that Jesus was in the beginning with the Father? And I said, sure, it's true, because that's what it says. They said, how do you know? Well, I thought about it, and I said, well, I never really researched it. I'm just taking it by faith. And then I was over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 reading what Paul said, and Paul said that the children of Israel, when they were in the desert with Moses, that the reason they were being bitten by serpents, it's because they had rebelled against Christ. And I said, is he saying that Jesus was in the desert with Moses? So that really got my mind stirring up on the question that was previously asked, and that's what made me start researching.
And so in doing this, doing this research, it was like a puzzle, right? Like putting it together, like what is the light? And there are hidden proofs that you unraveled, and that's how when you were asked that question and you started to think about that, you gave the example of Moses, but there are others, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, I noticed that then that John started off his gospel with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, and it dawned on me at that time that he was the only one in the Bible, the New Testament, that called Jesus Christ the Word of God. So I began to research that, and I found out that that Jesus' name, his universal name, is the Word of God. That's his name. That's not just a title, but that's what they call him, and we find that in Revelation chapter 19. That's what he's called, the Word of God. And so now if he's called the Word of God, then why didn't, now my question is, where is he in the beginning then? It says in the beginning was the Word, so there's gotta be some truth about it. He's gotta be there because that's what it says. So the Bible was supposed to be infallible, so that made me look at Genesis chapter 1, the first 5 verses. And I didn't see him there, but Jesus made 2 profound statements in John chapter 17. He said, "And now, Father, glorify thou me with thyself, with the glory I had with thee before the world was." Well, this gives you an indication that he was there with the Father before the creation of the world. But when you go to Genesis chapter 5, you don't really see it. Until you notice that in the first 5 verses, there is, God said, let there be light, and there was light, but there's no sun or the moon. So now, my curiosity went to, what is that light? So then I went to, after much research, I went to Revelation chapter 21 and found the New Jerusalem. And in the New Jerusalem, it says that Jesus is the light of a city that's 1,500 miles square. That's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and 1,500 miles high. And he is the light of the whole city. So therefore, he's got to be the light. If he's the light in that city, then he's got to be that light that's in the beginning.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So do you think it's like... there's something different when you have this trust, like, oh, okay, well, we just believe it. But now when you go deeper, do you think that makes the relationship with God or with Jesus that much better?
Well, it makes it much better when you realize that what is said is really the truth.
Yeah. And because we're human beings, so we always want proof, don't we?
You always want proof. But even now, the Bible is written in such a mysterious way that if you don't really put a lot of study into it, you will never figure anything out. Because it will just be a lot of words, but what does it really mean? It just means a lot of words that you either believe or you don't believe. But in your inner self, you really... I will always have doubts.
So when you wrote this book, and again, the book is called Who is Jesus Christ? The Complete Story. We're speaking with the Reverend Abraham Howard Jr. You can get it on Amazon. Did you purposely, as you unraveled this, wrote it so that people could understand what you were talking about and the passages, right?
Yes. Well, in my first book was Searching for Jesus. And that was based on one scripture where Jesus said that you think you have eternal life, but if you search the scriptures, you'll find out just a testimony to me. And then I wrote, but people couldn't really grasp that because it's full of scriptures. And if you really haven't studied or know a lot about the Bible, you'll be lost. So then I wrote my first edition of Who is Jesus Christ, the Complete Story, trying to help people out a little bit. But then it dawned on me that I needed something extra to go along with it, but they were still a little confused. So this would prompt me to write my second edition and put more material in there, plus dates, times, events, so that a person could really lock into the when it happened, how it happened, and the place that it happened.
When you unlocked this and you were sitting there and you were going through different passages, and again, even though you have a background in it, did it just kind of blow your mind when you figured this whole puzzle out?
Oh, of course. for example, in John chapter 8, Jesus said that Abraham believed him. And the Jews said, you're not even 50 years old. And you mean you were with Abraham? And when you really read that, you're trying to say, well, was he with Abraham? So now, when I read it, I went back over and looked at the whole story of Abraham, and I found out that what he said was really true. And but when you read the story of Abraham, you're not going to get it just by reading the story. You have to understand, who was he during the time of Abraham? Well, he was called... He's called the Word of God. But when you look at how it's written in Genesis chapter 15, he's called the Word of the Lord. And it's in all in small letters. And the reason why it's in small letters, because he really hadn't been manifested yet. But listen to what it says. After these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. So here we see that Christ came to Abraham in a vision. And then it says, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, after he came to see him in a vision, he came to see him in person.
Wow, it just, you know, listening to how this all comes together is just amazing to me. And how long did it take you to unravel all of these, you know, hidden proofs?
About 3 years.
Wow, 3 years. Yeah, that was some puzzle.
I mean, you know, you just think that I've got to dig through the whole Bible. You know,
right.
I mean, I have to go in there and look at every scripture, look at what was said, who said it, why did they say it, and then because everything is not written in one place, you got some things in Genesis, then you got some things in Exodus and Numbers, and some things are said in Genesis that relate to something in Revelations, and then there's some things in Genesis that take you to Matthew and then John and back to Isaiah. So you really have to go back and forth, and then you have to sit down and put it all together to where it makes some sense.
Yeah, exactly. And so 3 years, I can see how you pull that out, write it down,
yeah.
Figure it out. What do you hope people take away from reading your book?
I hope that when people read what I've written, that they just won't take my words or take my study until they have really studied themselves, took what I've said, studied everything I've written, and then prove to themselves that what I've written is really the truth.
There you go. So I like that. So I just thought of something funny. It's like, don't take it as gospel.
Yeah, well,
go back
I,
and right.
Yeah, when right in front of my book, I say this very thing. Don't take my word for it. Study what I've said. Look at all the references that I've written down, and then come to your own conclusion.
Yep. Which is brilliant, and that's what you want ultimately. The book is called Who is Jesus Christ? The Complete Story, Reverend Abraham Howard Jr. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Sin can bar you from God. Disobedience, pride, rebellion can separate your God. Satan with his devils will take possession.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of a gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter frontsight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
All right, you don't have to listen to this show for very long to realize how much I love talking about time and space and the whole idea of what could we possibly look at in the future, right? You know, and the whole fantasy of that. And somebody who's explored that realm is Stacy Glenn. He's an author. He's written Councils 12. And let me tell you about this book. So, of course, I get a lot of books and a lot of people that talk to me about their books. But this is a book that I started to read and then had a ton of travel and then talked to Stacy, and I was like, okay, now I got to finish it up because now I'm even more excited that I know the story behind the story. So you're going to get a sneak peek in our conversation. Stacy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
So let's talk about that for people who have no idea. You meet them and you say, hey, I've written a book, and it's Councils 12. Give us a synopsis. Tell us a little bit about what the book's about.
Well, it's about a man named Benjamin. He's torn between good and evil, and he's got there's dreams that seem to be premonitions and fantasies of flesh and death, and he's not sure where one begins and the other ends. And then there's the Councils 12. They're entities of morality and holders of the dimensions and the two dimensions. And they're in a battle with the renegade Azazel. He is the dark angel that dwells within time and space. And Benjamin is basically sought out by both sides to salvage what each stands for. And he struggles with love and hate, and it all lies within the fate of the universe. And he'll use his powers to grant the existence of everything, to shine with eternal mercy, and hopefully just won't stumble into deadly sin. And then there's a woman of his dreams, and she's hopefully the one that can save him or the one that's going to destroy everything.
When you started to think about this novel, Did the characters like Benjamin, did he just come to you? Did it start to pour out of you? What was it like writing this and creating this world?
Well, the name Benjamin, he came from one of the 12 disciples, the 12 tribes, the tribe of Benjamin, I believe it was, and it just seemed like that was the normal name and out of the rest of them, and I just kind of went with that name for that character, and that's about it for that. So.
And, you know, in the storyline, it's interesting for people listening. Again, we're talking with Stacy Glenn, and his novel is Councils 12. You talk about the seven deadly sins. I mean, you go through them, and so fascinating to watch what happened there. Was it fun to, I say fun, but was it fun to write about the evil and the good and the seven deadly sins?
Yeah, it was interesting to get into the things that people can get into that could possibly destroy them, and I just kind of wanted to just go with that, and I needed to go to the opposite direction when he eventually needs to correct things, and he has to figure out how he's gonna, after he's screwed everything up, he's got to figure out how he's gonna make it all good again.
Yeah, how do you manipulate time and space? I mean, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, that would be the fourth type civilization. Basically, they've just been around for so long that they know how to basically go into each universe that is born. I'm kind of saying that there's like just two universes, but only one exists at a time, and when one dies, the other one is born, and just keeps going back and forth. And the type four civilization people, they know how to travel back and forth without having to die and start all over again, like the renegade Azazel has to do.
Yeah, so, and for Azazel, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? It's frustrating. He's like on the hamster wheel because you said it, and think about this, people, he has to do it over and over, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Relentless. I mean, getting pounded relentless, because that's what it is. But that's the whole idea. And it's like I said, when you start to write this and then you go through, and now when you finish it up and you've got Councils 12, does it make you want to keep writing even more?
Yeah, it does. I've got other novels I haven't finished. I have another one that I did get published, Catherine. So, yeah, I'd definitely like to continue finishing these others, and I still have even others that I haven't even started yet that I've thought about writing.
Do you have any kind of a, sometimes when, you know, you write, and I've written some books, and people always ask this, and it's a great question of anyone who's written a book. Is there like a ritual? Do you have something you do, a desk, a place you sit, something where you can just focus on your story and what you're doing?
I just do the same thing every day, like 7 days a week, same time, same amount of hours. And I just have all my materials there and all my information I can look up if I need to make sure everything's accurate. And they just like, you know, quiet. It helps a lot to not have any distractions.
Boy, isn't that true? And you know this, Stacy, we live in a world of distractions. Even if you are by yourself, it seems like there's so many things that can take our attention away, especially now with the bubble that we're living in. And again, the book is called Councils 12, and we're speaking with Stacy Glenn and talking about the book and the characters and whatnot, and writing a novel and taking us through the ups and the downs of really what that life was like. And these are, you know, I was thinking about Benjamin. Is Benjamin or any other character in the book something that you could continue on with?
In like a sequel?
Yeah.
That could be a sequel with Benjamin. It would be Benjamin and a girl that he meets in the end. So, yeah, that would be, I've never even thought about that.
Yeah, I think it would, because the story, and what I'm telling telling people that are listening, for all of you that know this, when you get a novel and you start to get into the novel, it's the story, the characters. You're either rooting against them, you're rooting for them. You want to know what happens to them. And you did such a great job of doing that. Did you know, Stacey, when you were a kid or even in high school, that, hey, I want to write, I want to maybe write a novel or novels?
No, that didn't even cross my mind. I mean, you know, I wasn't too good at English, but I ended up going to private computer school, and I did pretty well in English, so that helped out a lot in trying to get your ideas together and everything.
Yeah, no kidding. And, you know, when you finish books, usually there's somebody, whether it's a boss, somebody you work with, or even family members. Who did you really want to show the book to, and what was their reaction?
I guess my mom, because she likes to read a lot. I just, my books are kind of like a mix of Stephen King, James Patterson, Dean Koontz. It's kind of all a little bit together, and just kind of see. Since she's done a lot of reading, I just thought I'd see how what she thought about it, and she liked it, so she helped me put it together too. So,
well, that's good, because since she's a reader, just like my mother was a voracious reader, it's always good to have those extra set of eyes. There's no question about that. For people that are listening to us and they're hearing us talk about Councils 12 and your process and writing it and whatnot, and they get the book, what do you hope that they take away from reading this novel?
I just hope that, you can see there's a lot of bad in people, and there's also a lot of good in people. And hopefully if we find the way out of the bad, and we can change and just be a better place for all of us.
Yeah, so there's the moral of the story. And did you have that in mind as you were writing it?
No, not really. I mean, maybe a little bit, but you know, once you write the whole thing, it comes together, and you kind of see the bigger picture of everything that's going on, you know.
Yeah, and when you, I don't know about you, but I know that I mentioned that I've written a couple books, and when I finish. It's just like it's like the best moment ever. It's just a great moment when you know you finished it. When you knew you finished the story, was that the best?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, as I was writing it, I was somewhat discovering what was going on. And the end was a surprise to me, as it will be to the reader, so.
See, and there you go. And so we didn't give too much away, and that's a good thing, because the end is a surprise, and that's what keeps you really invested, I think, even more in the book. So pick it up. You can get it on Amazon.com, Councils 12. Stacey Glenn, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Kate. Appreciate it.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warships? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.